organized like the Barthen spy net. But that was you who shot down those TIE fighters in Larnik. Am I right?
Yeah, that was me.
My son was on that ship. He was cooking your Nerf nuggets last night, and he wouldn't be if you hadn't decided to act. So I'm giving you a place to run if you need it. Contact anyone on that list, and tell them you're a friend of Saket's on Demon, and that I make the best Nerf nuggets you've ever had. They'll give you what help they can.
Thank you. Hopefully we won't need it. Do we owe you anything?
Your admiral has already paid me for these services. Good luck.
She said as she exited the speeder, leaving us to our own devices now that her responsibilities were fulfilled. We returned to our hotel and picked up R2 before taking a rented speeder back to the park. Besides getting a positive ID on Drusel Beforin, we needed to see how the security team conducted itself and whether they matched the reports Saket had provided us. R2 had plenty of scanning to do, accessing local comm networks, searching for encrypted type beams and following them to their nodes. He didn't need to know Imperial codes to recognize that beings sending and receiving encrypted transmissions in a public park marked themselves as security personnel every bit as clearly as stormtrooper armor would. Nikari and I dressed in matching uniforms that suggested we were crewmates of a passenger cruiser enjoying some time together on leave. We both wore caps pulled low over our eyes and had applied lumps of synth flesh putty to our faces to alter the shapes of our cheeks, noses, and chins, and had changes of clothing for later stashed in small duffels. We entered the park on the south side, with R2 trailing behind. We picked a bench that afforded us a good view of the rest of the park and waited. A flying security droid, a black spherical number bristling with blasters and sensors, arrived first and swept the area, no doubt capturing our images and checking them against Imperial databases. My altered appearance wouldn't match any files they had on Luke Skywalker. We were also weaponless. I'd been careful to leave my lightsaber behind this once, and otherwise non-threatening, so it hurtled away from us after a cursory scan to investigate other people. Nikari caught my attention and, with flicks of her eyes, directed me to check out the elevated walkways above the park. Two men in loose yet bulky clothing, one on either side, had taken up positions to give them an excellent view of the Greenbelt. They might have simply been citizens enjoying the view, except that they had military-style haircuts, alert expressions out of keeping with mere sightseeing, and probably armor hidden underneath their casual wear. Once I knew what to look for, I spotted a few more walking around the park, four to be precise. Isolated individuals who ignored the charms of the park and instead eyed everyone in it suspiciously. One of them passed near us and squinted in our direction, his mouth a thin slash of annoyance underneath his nose. I guessed we didn't fit his profile of Dean and leisure seekers. If his expression was that sour as a rule, I wondered how it would look after we engineered the escape of his charge. Nikari and I were careful to speak of nothing relating to the operation. We knew we might have long-range audio trained on us. We would talk everything over afterward. In the meantime, we spoke of the crew and passengers of our fictional cruise ship and their behavioral peccadilloes, pretending to let off steam while letting our eyes drink in the habits of the security detail. Eventually, our target appeared, flanked by two obvious bodyguards in black, in contrast with the others scattered about the park attempting to blend in. The security drone we had seen earlier returned to hover above and behind her, though it hung back far enough that she would not be disturbed by its operational hum. Drusel Beforin dressed herself in a long, flowing green tunic that dropped below the knees, belted at the waist in brown. I couldn't tell if she was in good health or not. To human eyes, The Given looked somewhat like sad skeletons, their heads resembling bare skulls, with brows sloped up to meet together in the middle, lending them the appearance of perpetual mourning, or perhaps dismay at discovering something hairy crawling on their food. The environment of their homeworld was so harsh that their organs were sealed away from the atmosphere, and they could survive for a short while in vacuum. That left me without any blush to evaluate. They had no visible eyes, and a rather inflexible mouth that betrayed little in the way of expression. I wouldn't know how she was feeling until she told me, and for all I knew, she might express that in calculus. The bodyguards in black walked behind Drusel a couple of